Hello, everybody, and welcome to eTech Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about it, we stomp right through it. I'm your host, Melissa, and this is the show that gets down and dirty with everyday leaders who are making real change happen. We're not afraid to get our boots muddy because that's where the real stories are. So lace up, slip them on, step out, and join us as we trudge through the trenches of trust building and action taking, real action taking. If you are tired of all the talk and no walk, you're in the right spot. So let's get your boots ready. Let's lace up. Let's get muddy. Hello, and welcome to this episode of eTech Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about issues, we stomp right through them. And I have some guests today that are not about skipping over mud puddles. They love to jump right in the mud. They live it and breathe it every single day. And that's what this podcast is for. It's for all of you out there that actually walk in this leadership role. And today's topic, get yourself ready, it's over trust. And I can honestly say that my colleagues here, they're living and breathing through trust right now. Some of them are in the issues of trust day in and day out as we go through this journey at eTech as leaders. So I just want to welcome our panel today. And we have Mr. Chris Bazile. You'll see everybody. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hello, Melissa and team. It's good to be here.
All right. And we have Nancy Pratt.
Hello.
Hey, Nancy. And then we have Ben Johnson, or you can call him Benjamin.
Hey, hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, fantastic. And I'm Melissa, as usual. I know you guys get to see me all the time, but we're really happy to have you guys here. And then we'll put their bio and information all about you in the link, so we don't have to go through all of that. But what qualifies them to be here on this panel to help all of us trudge through this topic of trust is they've either lost trust, created trust, trusted someone, or not trusted someone. Does that pretty much, does that cover each of you?
I think that applies to all of us.
Okay. I think that covers all, myself included. And I think we would first go off and say that it's a journey of those. And hopefully we're not in all of those elements at one time. But today we're going to provide some trust building skills. And that's where you guys come in to help our listeners provide some trust building skills. So let's just stomp right through this mud. You guys ready? You have your boots on?
Ready.
Okay, so this is not where we talk about it. We are about it. So I'm just going to kick off with some questions. And then I think we'll take it Chris, Nancy, and Ben on this first question, if that'll be okay. All right, so when you think about the word trust, what's one defining moment in your career that showed you what true trust looks like?
That's a good one. For me, it's I learned from different mentors that trust, a big portion of trust is what happens when you're not around. And after working and preparing on a project and having to fly to another site and being out of the office for 3 days, that trust was shown to me by leaders and team members who stepped up and performed when you're not there, when you're not around and you're not in the building. And it didn't happen just that day. It's those small things. It's the consistency. It's the conversations. It's the authenticity and the genuine nature that you take into the days and weeks and months before that, that build up to earn you that opportunity to be able to be somewhere else and know that you can have that level of trust to know that things will get done. So for me, that was when I could step out of the building, be somewhere else, and know that what was supposed to happen was not only happening, but it was happening exceptionally well.
Very good. Were your parents able to do that when you were a teenager? Could they step out of the house and trust you with things?
Although I was a practical joker growing up, I did grow up in a military family, so there was a lot of rigor and a lot of rule. So yes, they could. I was trustworthy. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I'll have your family on the podcast next time, and we'll double check.
Actually,
we might put all your families on here and talk about your teenage years or your college years and see. Well, thank you for that. That's really important to know when you step away from something, how it runs when you're not there.
right? And that really helps you, I guess, that dependability, if you will, when you really think you can depend on someone, how reliable they are. So what about you, Nancy Pratt? So has there been a defining moment in your career when you're like, okay, that's what trust looks like in action?
Well, so I have had some excellent trusting relationships with my direct leaders over the years. When I think of all of my, all places that I've been working, just when I think of communication, support, and kind of professional honesty. So thinking of, you know, building on what Chris said about authenticity, I think the defining moments have been several, and they've been with others, not really my direct leaders, but when the curtain has been pulled back and the kind of a facade revealed that there were major differences in a person's character, you know, what I saw on the outside versus what I eventually saw. So kind of a misalignment of words and behavior, because that's one of the things that really builds trust, is when there is alignment, you're walking the talk, right? And so because I saw that, that's what really helped me learn the most and helped me decide I have to be even a stronger, more trustworthy leader myself, because of, and that's what helped define trust for me, is when I didn't see it.
Wow. That's powerful. That's very powerful. When we don't see it, it can really impact you so much when you don't see it. That makes me think, I talked to a gentleman just 2 days ago, and he works for a leader that talks about building relationships and getting to know people. And he's really, the gentleman told me that the other gentleman, his leader, is really well-versed. And he talks about, it's about making connection and being dependable and like knowing your team. And that gentleman looked at his leader and he said, "What are my kids' names?" Because he was talking to him about, you know, how you need to build a relationship with everyone you work with. And he had worked with this guy for about 10 years. And his boss could not even, he only has 2 kids. And one of them, they had both been there the whole 10 years. And instead of being honest and saying he didn't know, he just said, he showed himself to have misalignment on what he was saying and what he was doing. So, I too talked to a gentleman just a couple of days ago that was saying what you're saying is there's words and then there's actions. And when those two collide opposite, man, that'll show you what you don't want to be, what you definitely don't want to be. I really appreciate that. All right, Ben, you have a profound moment in your career when you saw what trust looks like.
Yeah, you know, just kind of piggybacking off of a couple of words that were mentioned. You mentioned dependability a minute ago, Melissa, and it made me think of the trust equation, right? So the trust equation is credibility, reliability, and intimacy. So on the dependability piece, that is incumbent on the reliability and the credibility. Well, one defining moment for me, many, many moons ago, there was an opportunity for me to leave what I know as an organization and move to a different location, start over, start with new people. I knew some within the same organization, but from before. And really, at that moment, I had to rely and depend on the credibility and the reliability of the influences that were helping me make those decisions. So not internally, just internally, but with my family as well. So one, I had to display the credibility and reliability that this move was going to be a potentially positive thing for our family, because we were a young family. But then two, trusting in the moves that were being made, and special thanks, obviously, Melissa is a part of this, by the way, guys. So, but because of that trust and that credibility that had been built up in those initial conversations, I knew that the move that I was making was going to be a positive one. And of course, incumbent of my performance after I I shifted off. But making that initial decision when, you know, really a wide turn in the, a fork in the road, one is a completely different dynamic of trying something new, reinventing, or relying on that portion that worked out well. Obviously, it's kept me within this career, but that was a defining moment on really recognizing both the reliability and credibility of the resources or the leadership that I was working with to be able to make that second decision. And it worked out.
Yeah. And imagine, I mean, when I talk about trust, and I appreciate you bringing up the trust equation, which we've spent years working through. And I appreciate Charles Green and Andrea Howe for writing that book. I want to give them definitely credit for that. But there's a mindset to trust, and then there's essential skills to trust, right? So what you kind of are describing here is like, getting yourself, when you see it for the first, like when you see it profound in your career, it's like a mindset that you have. And I can only imagine a young family, the mindset they had to have to trust you to take them in a whole different direction. So that's a whole nother topic as a leader of your family, Ben, for creating an atmosphere of trust where they're like, pack our bags. Let's go. We trust you. So that's a whole nother level of trust. And that's what we talk about in this episode, because it's not just about work, because people are listening to us that we have to trust is not just about your professional career. Right. Actually, I want to stomp a little bit in this mud hole. If we don't do trust well at home, we won't do trust well here. OK, because that's what matters. Right. That's what matters most. So for those of you who are listening, anything that you learn today, which you will, and even the mindsets that you're hearing here, we want to, you know, some people say, don't try this at home. Try this at home. This is one of those that you do try this at home. Okay. Try this at home first, I would ask you to do. So many leaders talk about trust, but few know how to build it. So you've talked about what it looked like, and now we need to talk about how to build it. I need you guys to give everybody here, including me, I'm taking notes. What's one exercise or activity that you've seen truly shift a team dynamic for the better? What's a trust activity that we can do to kind of shift team dynamic or a person's dynamic? Because, you know, sometimes you can just be off with a person, you know, you're either not trusting them or they're not trusting you. You can feel it. You guys, this is not a fake show. You can feel something's off, and then sometimes you can feel it off with the team, right? So what is one exercise that you've seen or activity that helped for the better that we can use today? And I'll go, let's go backwards. Let's shake it up a little bit. You want to shake it up a little bit? We'll go with Nancy. Nancy, you want to give us an activity or something to do?
So I think what comes to mind, I think we all know that building trust is a long process. It's not something anyone would say happens overnight. So a long process of being consistent, you know, the dependability factor over time. So thinking of one example, I'm thinking this is a start. This isn't a be-all, end-all, right? This is a start for building. So I appreciate that you asked the question that way. I think of an exercise that actually one of my leaders taught me, and it is asking three questions. And these are the three questions. What am I as a leader? What am I doing that helps you? What am I doing that hinders you? And what else, what am I not doing that you'd like me to consider doing? And so asking those three questions does a lot of things. It, of course, you have to be humble. You have to show integrity with the feedback that you get and be willing to review it and consider making some changes. Because the purpose is for you to support your team, right? Or support the individual. And if you do that with every member of your team, maybe you'll see a pattern. Maybe you'll see from their perspective. So what better way to help support them and build trust and dependability with them? You're listening and asking for their feedback directly. So again, not just asking the question, but then being willing to make some changes. To continue improving yourself and the relationship with them. If it just stops with what they give you and it's a dead end and nothing changes, I wouldn't say that's, you know, that that hasn't been very helpful, but that's what comes to my mind.
Nancy, you're just stomping right through the mud. Guys, do you see this? She just threw mud on everybody. So those are some powerful questions. I really like those questions. You have to be willing, like you said, you have to show some humility to go in and ask those questions. So it's three questions and go. So it's three questions and do something with the answer. And I think that's a big key element. We have new leaders that are listening to us today. And then we have experienced leaders. And I think I don't care where you are in your leadership journey. Just like when I read the Bible, I might have read that scripture before, and then it turns around and hits me in a different way, in a different journey in my life, right? So that's the way this answer is. Those questions are not just like, oh my gosh, I've never heard of those questions before, but putting in those three ways with the action tied to it and listening to hear and respond and not react, I think that is something that is definitely a huge takeaway, and I appreciate that. So Ben, what do you think? You have something that's worked for you that you want to help us out with?
Yeah, it's going to sound like a broken record. Go back to the trust equation on self-orientation portion of it. So really in building trust, Nancy mentioned this earlier, it takes time. And there's a time dynamic really to understand what that self-orientation is for you as well as for the team, right? So in order to... What I've learned is in order to understand what's the whiff on what's in it for them is really to spend time and not just look at results and measures and what's the goal versus the result itself, but that self-orientation is to how are we getting there? Why are we getting there? Why is it important? And, you know, so again, what's in it for me? What's in it for you? And then kind of calibrating there. What's worked out for me and my teams is in building trust. It's not just saying, oh, you can trust me with this, but actually giving the platform to collaborate on things together. And for example, I'll use us on this group as an example. So we're all working on a project, and we know that Nancy is best at this one thing, and Melissa, you're best at this other piece, and Chris at this other piece, and me at the last piece. And again, it's just, okay, let's have trust. And Nancy, you've got your deliverable. We know what the expectation is. We know what the goal is. We know what the timing this is. Go work on it. Work on it. Let's come back together. And where I've made mistakes in this is that constant, hey, how are you? Where's it going? How's it going? What's the result? Versus we all know what we're good at. That's the time commitment. So what I've learned is there any support that you need from me on this goal that we're working on? No. And then once we all come together and put it together, then give that, again, that self-orientation, get that credit back where the work was done. Okay. That's a fantastic job on this. How else can we learn kind of on the different coaching tactic? What can we learn from this to apply somewhere else? And then, again, it starts building trust that it's not just being led by one, but it's being led by the team on the outcome that we're all looking for.
Okay. All right. I love you, how you can take, Ben has a unique gift of taking complexity and making it simple, right? So there's so many layers to what he's saying, but definitely, I think I've done it. I know you've done it. I've seen all of us do it, actually. We follow up so much what someone else is doing on their task. It makes them not trust us because they think we don't trust them to do their job. Right. And we think we're just trying to be efficient. So if you're taking this to home, right, the best thing I've seen one of my sons do is when they feel like I really trust them in a situation, they usually come through. Does that make sense? If they know I'm trusting them to take care of this, they usually would come through. But if they think I don't trust them, they usually meet my expectations, right? And it's the same thing at work. So I think all of us, let's just all put ourselves in that position. If we felt like our leader trusted us to take care of something and they were depending on us, then we would follow through with it. But if our boss has to keep calling us and saying, where you are on that, then we're basically just going to deliver exactly what they asked for. Here you go. No heart attached.
I think it goes back also to the credibility and reliability on that piece, right? Because if there's credibility in your work and Nancy's work and Chris's work and you're reliable on it, then that check-in doesn't need to happen as often.
Yeah.
If there is a lack of credibility or reliability, then yeah, of course, check-ins need to happen. But I think, again, that's where we shift into the self-orientation piece on how can we build up that credibility and reliability as we continue to improve on the whole project itself.
Yeah. The experts say, like, there's a whole debate we could have whether trust really takes time. I've heard you guys say it takes time. There's a debate out there that trust doesn't take time. So you can either be on one fence or the other or kind of in the middle. I guess I find myself a little bit in the middle. I think that things like credibility maybe don't take as much time. Someone's intimacy, I feel like, doesn't take as much time. Someone's reliability, I believe, for me, I have to watch over time. And then someone's self-orientation, it doesn't take me a minute to see, like, is it high or low? Does that make sense? So trust, you know, knowing if you can trust someone, you know, there's some elements of it, like you said, Ben, it might take longer and some not. All right, Chris Bazile, you got a tip for us? You got something that you've seen work?
There's been some great examples given. You know, one of the things that Nancy touched on, just in terms of how trust is built, and it's true, it isn't just an event. It's thousands of small deposits into a bank account almost that prove that you're reliable and honest and you genuinely care about the people who are doing the work. And from what I've seen, most leaders fail not because they don't know what to do. I think they fail because they do what's convenient when it matters the most, or instead of what matters the most at that specific time. And I think the difference between trusted leaders and everyone else, they show up every single day. So one of the things that I enjoy with reporting to Kayleen specifically, you know, president here at eTech, is that she'll end each call and she'll say, you know, look at me. She'll get really intense and, well, you know, we don't work in the same building, in the same city. So she'll look right into that camera. What do you need help with? And I just know that it's genuine. I know that she truly wants to know. It's not a throwaway question for me to say, I'm good. I don't have anything. That's an open door for me to walk through. And I have told her at times, here's what I need help with. And she rolls up her sleeves. She's like, okay, let's go. And to me, that's just game changing. And when you as a leader can do that, no matter what level you're on, not only does it build trust, I mean, it makes you want to run through a burning, you know, building for that person on fire. So, that's just one thing. It's just asking, you know, what can I do to help? How can I be of support to you, but genuinely mean it and roll up your sleeves and do it?
Wow. All three of you, like even on the first question that I asked, like Nancy gave those three questions and then Ben was saying, how can I support you? And then you saying, what do you need from me? We need to pay attention to that, right? One, we need to pay attention. Are we being consistent and asking those questions? And number two, if we're not, we need to start by asking some of those questions. I think everything you summed up as far as the tips go into being authentic and asking questions. And that's and then doing something with it. We heard you, Nancy. Then doing something with what you said. Okay, we're going to shift to something a little more controversy. Are y'all ready?
Let's do it.
There has got to be times, y'all don't try to blush over this, but there's times with me, everybody listening, and you too, where you had to rebuild trust. It was broken. Oh, like that. That's a tough thing to do, right? So let's just say trust has been broken. How can leaders rebuild trust when it's been broken, especially when it's been conflict or change? So we'll go back to Nancy on this one.
Okay. I think context matters a little bit because we've all given some, there's so many different elements to trust. I think of like trust as when you're building trust, whether you talk about building it like a bank account, building it like a bridge is one of the ways I like to think about it and think that it needs a strong foundation. And that strong foundation is your character, your inner character, honesty, integrity. And those are things that aren't necessarily built quickly either. But okay, so when trust has been broken, I think it's something's been done to chip away at that foundation. It's either something sudden or it's something that's been eroding gradually. Okay. But so in some, if it was dishonesty, if that is the reason that trust was broken, and I mean, as a leader, you got to work on yourself. If that's the issue, you've got to fix that. Nobody else can fix that. And if you really want to rebuild it and you want to, you know, start there and recognize it was because of dishonesty, then you got to show your humility. You've got to start with apologizing. I mean, that would be one thing. If in another context, though, if it's because the team doesn't feel supported, well, we're back to all of us said something like you recognize, Melissa, you know, about how can I support you? So in whatever way you ask that, and then, you know, so that's a start if you're not doing that. If the, maybe sometimes the mistrust happens because we have different visions, or disagreement, maybe we have the same vision, but disagreement about how to get there. And that's where like the collaboration that Ben was talking about comes in. I would say an intentional discussion about how can we align? Let's listen to each other's perspective. And maybe take the best parts, you know, whether that's one-on-one, whether that's together as a whole team, you know, allow team members to be heard and be part of the solution, not the old school, this is the way we're going to do it, period. Because that is not what, anyway, if you do the opposite, if you say, let's all be part of the solution, to me, that's a great way to start rebuilding trust.
Good. I appreciate that. I hope everyone's taking notes there. We'll throw it over to you, Chris. What do you think about what Nancy said and how would you add to that?
I love what she said specifically on acknowledging, you know, the issue first and being open and honest about it. I think you have to admit what you did in a safe space without being defensive. And it's hard for people to drop the rope sometimes and be able to share something like that. I'm a firm believer. I love the book Extreme Ownership. I think that's part, you know, right up there as well as a priority. You have to own what you did and avoid any blame shifting from, you know, for and explaining away the reasons as to why it happened. You have to communicate transparently. And I think one thing that a lot of people miss is good leaders, amazing leaders, allow themselves to be vulnerable. It's okay to say, here's another time where I've made a mistake like this. Let me show you what I did to learn from it and how together my hope is that we can move forward. And it's almost kind of like a, you know, give me 1% and let me earn the other 99% of the trust back. That's what I want to do. And I think if you allow yourself to drop the rope, be a little vulnerable and share what I've learned in the past or how I've made those mistakes, I think it allows people to come together and work better together to where that trust can be reestablished over time.
Yeah, I agree. That vulnerability, it gets us. It gets us. It's almost like it's a battle within ourselves to try to show that we're vulnerable. And then when we don't, it hurts us even more.
Now, it always doesn't work at home because, you know, saying I'm not going to go cut the grass because I was at work from 6 to 6, being vulnerable then does not, yeah, you know, may not compute. So
maybe in that one, just say, I am a loser. I apologize.
Exactly.
And at midnight tonight, I'll mow the grass with a headlight.
I'll be out there. Yeah.
That's to Nancy's point. Do something with your apology, right?
That's
do
right.
something
That's
with
right.
it. All right, Ben, what did you heard Nancy and Chris, what did you like about what they said and what would you add?
Yeah, loved what they said and that there's little to add. you know, to Nancy's point, your opening point, context is really, really important. Because there's, you know, low level of trust, high level of trust. There's low impact of loss of trust, high impact of loss of trust. I've been on both sides, right? I know that I've lost trust with people because of actions specifically that I said I would do and I didn't do, or that I wouldn't do and I did, right? So, but it going back to the context, there's some trust that may not be rebuilt, and that's just the reality of it, right? And it just kind of depends on that context of what was lost. On the other side, the acknowledgement, that self-orientation, the acknowledgement of if it was something that I did or if it was something you did, obviously have a discussion about it. That's where the intimacy really comes into place, is, you know, discussing it openly, of course, politely and respectfully, but really kind of laying it out. And if there is an opportunity to rebuild that trust, it's going to take time with that intimacy and that connection of rebuilding that trust based on if I said or did something that I said I wasn't going to do or I did and I didn't, okay, I've got to prove myself in that case to be able to rebuild that. And there are other cases that, you know, it's some of that loss of trust, we internalize it, and there really is no reason for that lack of trust to be there. But our own self-orientation is causing that trust barrier to be there. When again, it just comes down to the intimacy, the conversation, and really breaking down those barriers that cause that trust loss in the first place.
I love that. You guys are really, really good, and I appreciate you passing on all these words of wisdom to everybody. I'm taking notes and writing down everything you said, and I just want to add a little something here. I have seen in my career and at home that exactly what Ben is saying, that sometimes we create distrust in our head because of space. The more like we get like a little hint of something, somebody said something sideways on a call, or we perceive something one way. Are you with me? We've all done it. And when we're not around that person very often, we start creating a little monster about them in our head. Okay? Do we not? So I'm just trying to, this is muddy boots. This is not like professor talk. This is muddy boots. This is different. So we start, whether it's if somebody in our family, a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, or something, they do something a little sideways. We're not intimate. We're not with them all the, you know, a lot, but we just start building things in our head about them. We start having conversations with them in our head that they were never part of, right? And then we start making assumptions on why they are doing, oh, they sent that email because they want me to be fired, or they did, like, we just start building a monster in our own head. So I believe that our own self-orientation and distance create a trust breakdown. Okay? And so, and to name, there is context. I mean, that's the context to it, right? So in, what do you do? What do you do? Well, to me, you bridge the gap. You go to the person. You start like trying to repair some of the things you've said in your own head. Does that make sense? By maybe spending some more time with them, being in their space more, realizing that their little quirkiness is just their quirkiness. It's not their, they're not trying to do anything against you. Does that make sense? And I believe starting there, even with our own family, and let people be a little unique. Okay? It may not be the way you would do it. There's more than one way to get to the number 9. You know, you can do 8 plus 1, but you can also do, right, 10 minus 1, right? There's more than one way to get to the number 9. So just because they're a little quirky in their ways doesn't mean that they're not trustworthy. So that's the one point that I wanted to make. And the other thing, remember, if everyone's listening here, that there's two components to trust. And I think that these guys have demonstrated trustworthiness. And they've shared when they weren't trustworthy, right? Like if you broke a promise, you did something you weren't supposed to. Or so there's two components to trust. There's trustworthiness. That means I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to do what I say, what I'm going to do. That I own this. Okay. If I just am trustworthy, then that's just 50% of trust. So let's just say Nancy and I have a relationship and I've committed that I'm going to be trustworthy to Nancy. I'm going to tell her the truth, right? I'm going to tell her when I can't tell her something. I'm going to try to be there when I said I would be there. I'm going to try to do what I said I'm going to do. Then my relationship with Nancy is 50% at best. Are y'all doing the math with me? So that's it. That's our relationship. It's a 50% trust. But if the other component of trust is trusting, and I'm not trusting Nancy, if I already have my arm up to her, then I need to be okay with a 50% level of trust, right? I don't need to start building stuff in my head because I've already decided that I'm not going to trust her, but I'm going to be trustworthy. So my relationship with Nancy is 50% at best. And I think that's kind of what you were saying, being like sometimes we can't rebuild trust. But I think we need to own that we're not taking a risk on that person by trusting them. So that 50% we get is on us, right? So that's kind of what I'm thinking when we talk about trusting versus trustworthy. The only way I'm going to get to 60%, 70%, 80%, and 90%, and 100% is by trusting Nancy, as long as I do my part. Same thing with my husband. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm going to do my part as a wife. But if I kind of have a side eye toward him, like I'm not trusting him very much, my marriage relationship is 50% at best, right? So the same concept applies definitely at work. So I hope that this truth that Ben shared, that Chris shared, that Nancy shared, and that I've shared, this helps us, like when we talk about the area of trust. So if you're challenged in this area in any way, which the answer is yes, you are, because all of us are challenged in the area of trust, I hope these tips, these questions, these mindsets that these professionals have shared with us, and maybe you can take some glimpse of something I've said, will help you. And then I hope you're like me. I hope you guys will jump in the mud with us on another topic soon besides trust. Trust is a pretty heavy conversation for everybody these days. It's hard to know who you can trust, when you can trust, and what you can trust, but it can be done. And I believe if it is to be, it starts right with me. So thank you for your time and talents. And I trust that you guys will go work on all these questions. Those that are on this panel and those that are listening to us, go work on these tips and tricks. And we'll see you next time in the mud. Thank you.